Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Gina Furtado grew up as a homeschooler with music as the central interest in her curriculum. She quickly became a banjo aficionado, winning several awards, eventually landing herself a spot with Chris Jones's band, The Night Drivers. Her latest endeavor finds her starting her new band and launching on a solo career. Gina and I talk about all of that in this next edition of Americana Music Profiles. Hi, Gina. Welcome to the podcast today.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us and making it work out to be here with us today. So, are you still in Front Royal, Virginia?
I live in Winchester, Virginia, actually, which is about 40 minutes from Front Royal.
Close in proximity. Well, I live just outside of Harrisonburg, so in the big world, you and I live real close to each other, even though we're still about 2 hours apart.
Bluegrass neighbors, yeah.
Right, that's right. Yeah, bluegrass neighbors. There you go. So you have lived there your whole life?
I grew up in Front Royal, and then briefly lived in Nashville. You know, when I was 18. You know,
yeah,
did that whole thing.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, I've been here in Winchester for the past 10 years or so.
And based on what you just said, being in Nashville at 18, I take it that music's been a part of your life, most of your life?
Oh, yeah, my entire life.
How did that start for you?
Well, I started on classical piano lessons when I was 5.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. And I was homeschooled. All of us siblings were homeschooled, and it was kind of like the main focus of homeschooling was music. So doing those classical lessons was like huge focus for the first couple of years, and that just kind of like set the stage for like being a musician as part of my identity.
And you, if I understand correctly, you played a lot with your siblings growing up?
Yeah, definitely. So
even out professionally, right? Like, I mean, you guys had a band, an act together here on the East Coast?
Yeah, we did. So that would have been like a couple years later. You know, I guess I picked up the banjo around like 10 or 11 years old, and then that's when we really started to play out more. Like, we kind of got the bluegrass bug, and we did the whole like family band thing, and we toured around a good bit around the East Coast, and did a bunch of fiddlers convention competitions and things like that. Busking on the street corner.
Oh, cool.
We did a lot of that.
Yeah. So what took you to Nashville?
That's a long story, but I guess honestly, it was a school down there I was intending to go to, Aquinas School. It's like a very, very tiny school that I got a good scholarship for.
Okay.
So I went to one semester, but unfortunately, while I was living there, and I had a roommate, I don't even know if you want this on your podcast, but I had a roommate.
Well, you can give us the short version.
Okay, yeah. Well, anyway, we had like a terrible crime happen at our apartment, and she ended up, I just didn't want to stay there at that point. I was 18 years old, and
after
this big horrible thing happened, I'm like, you know what? I'm going home.
Right, yeah, okay.
So, yeah.
So you come back home to play, to find a job. When did it become apparent that this actually might be something you could do for a living?
Really not until a couple of years ago. Ever since I started playing the banjo, I've been playing, making money in some context to some degree, playing
right.
gigs. And then it just kind of, I guess it was about 5 years ago or 6 years ago, maybe, I started playing with a regional band and getting more serious about, I did a bunch of booking and I made the website and I started to get a lot more into it that way and realize that it's like a totally viable livelihood.
Right, yeah.
Teaching
yeah.
more, stuff like that. And then after that band, I realized I wanted to do something a little more serious and went out and found Chris Jones, who I'm currently playing with.
Right, and that's Chris Jones and the Night Drivers, and for our listeners, it's Chris Jones from Bluegrass Junction on Sirius XM. How did that connection happen for you? Because you're still a part of that band, correct?
Actually, just for a couple more months.
Okay.
For the moment, I'm still in the band.
Okay.
And they're wonderful. I was just kind of ready to kind of play with a more professional level band. We'd met the Night Drivers at another gig, and I reached out to John Weisberger, and I just knew that John had, a bunch of connections in the bluegrass scene, and I reached out to him to let him know that if he knew of anyone looking for another banjo player, that I was looking for another job.
Okay.
And that was, exactly when Ned was moving to the Becky Muller band. So,
right.
So they just said, well, how about you play in our band?
Yeah. Wow, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about right place at the right time.
Yeah.
And how long ago was that?
Oh, about 3.5 years ago.
Okay. So you mentioned that you were leaving that position here in the next couple months. What does that mean for you?
Well, I have my own band all set up. It's called the Gina Furtado Project, and yeah, I'm pretty stoked about it. I've got my sister is going to play fiddle, Melina Furtado, and she's a great singer as well.
Yeah.
And then Max Johnson is going to play bass. He lives up in New York City. And Drew Matalich from Asheville, North Carolina, is going to play guitar.
Okay.
I guess really it comes from songwriting becoming more and more kind of a part of what I do. Just something I absolutely love doing, and I just kind of want to start focusing on the songs that I write.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that this stems from your album that came out a year or so ago, True Colors, which was your debut project, which was quite successful for you. Debuted at number 13 and had, I think, 2 number one singles, right, off of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, I put out that album, and that was just kind of, it was a passion project. I just wanted to do it so that I could record my songs,
Yeah.
I wasn't planning on doing much with it, but
yeah.
It did so well, and I've had so many great just gig offers just crop up. That absolutely plays into this, deciding to focus more fully on my own, my own project.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it just seemed to go over well, and I was turning down some good work that I would have liked to have done. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Did you when you started this pre the Night Drivers, any idea that you'd be able to be in a position to record an album that did so well and think about starting your own project at the next level?
Pre the Night Drivers, so when I'm, when I started playing with the regional band.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I had always, always wanted to record my own album. So I was planning on it, and certainly not, I just thought I would just record it at the local studio and, you know, certainly not get it on the label or anything like that.
Right.
And never dreamed of doing my own band. You know, I've always just been a side man, and I've loved that.
Yeah.
So I would say, no, I would never have expected that. It just kind of unfolded that way, and you know, you just get that gut feeling that it's time to do that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Trying to listen to that.
What is that transition, maybe in general terms, we don't have to, because it probably, we could take hours to answer this question, but the transition from being a side person in a band that's, you know, having fun, but kind of more regional project to, you know, moving into, obviously, Chris Jones and the Night Drivers have had some really good success, you know, in a larger scope, and then stepping away from that to becoming the band leader and being in charge and the CEO, for lack of a better word, of a new project.
All business.
Yeah. What does that feel like? And is there an educational process that you've learned by osmosis, or do you really have to sit down and really just consider that before you just launch out into something like that?
Yeah, that's a really good question, but yeah, you know, the work that I did with the band, it was called Bugs Collective, by the way, the regional band I was playing with.
Right, and I'm familiar with
the work that I did there, like, really, like, gave me confidence for what I'm doing with my own projects now, because of all the, you know, the more, like, kind of band business aspect to, you know, that side of things, because it's huge, you know, there's a ton of work with booking and making a website and all that. So, yeah, I think just having done that, like, definitely makes me feel confident doing, like, what I'm doing with my own band. And then, you know, when I transitioned into the Night Drivers band, that was my first, like, really professional-level job as a banjo player. And that was just fantastic. I mean, Chris is, like, really great, and he was so encouraging of me to just do whatever I do. You know, he didn't want me to, you know, try to imitate what Ned had been doing or, you know, I started traveling a lot with them. That was totally new to me.
Okay.
But I'm pretty like, go with the flow.
Yeah.
So I loved it, you know, yeah. Just kind of fell into place and felt comfortable with it right away.
Yeah. Yeah. And so moving forward with your new project, I'm guessing there's maybe a new album in the works too?
Yeah, should be out very soon, actually. We'll have a single release in the next month or so, and then the full album will be out sometime in the next couple of months. We don't have a date yet.
And does that have a title, the record?
Yeah, that one's going to be called I Hope You Have a Good Life.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
I know. I figured if I have to plaster stuff on social media for the next 6 months, it better be something kind, right?
Right. Yeah. But, you know, that's interesting, though, because you, maybe even 10 years ago, but certainly 20 years ago, you wouldn't have to think of things like that. But it makes sense to pick a title that catches somebody's attention that maybe aren't even looking for music, but that just the sentiment of I hope you have a good day links back to your music and your website, you know, all that. You used to not have to think about how to tie all this stuff together.
That's true. Yep.
It certainly has changed the landscape for being a musician.
It has, I think for me, though, it's just also, it does have something to do with, like, I just want to get it a catchy title, like something that people will notice and want to know more about.
Right.
But it also is kind of like what I hope to do with my music. You know, like ultimately, it's like I want to, you know, help people connect with their, you know, whatever it is that they're going through the stuff that I'm going through and writing about and playing about. You know.
Yeah. Okay.
So. So as you know, consequentially, the songs, a lot of them are about just kind of, you know, just getting through stuff, making the world a better place, and nicer, and growing, and, you know, such and such.
Is the writing process for you something that you take time set aside and are intentional about that, or do these songs just kind of happen as you live life?
Kind of both. With the plans to make an album, I'm definitely like, when I'm planning to make an album, I was definitely like thinking, okay, I've got to make sure to have, X number of good songs. So I set aside more time to do it. Or maybe I should say I kind of allowed more time in my schedule to let it happen.
Right.
That makes sense. But it is, it's all like very kind of cathartic to me. And, so I mean, if I had all the time in the world, I would be writing a lot more than I do.
Okay.
So it's like when I'm preparing for an album, I allow that to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
More than I do when I'm not about to make an album.
Did you have a set number of songs when you went into the studio for this new record, or more of a collection that you kind of sorted through when you got there and picked the ones that you liked the most?
I am like a super planner. Like to be like super prepared. So I had it all picked out and all arranged. I'm just a planner that way.
What's been your favorite part of all of this?
The recording process, or you mean like
just your music? Yeah, the recording process, but your musical career and you know, from where you started to where you are now.
There's so many aspects of it that I love. I absolutely love traveling and just kind of. going places that I never, ever would have gone otherwise if it hadn't been that we have a gig there. So that's huge for me. And then the cathartic process of writing.
Yeah.
And that goes for tune writing as well.
But okay.
That has been huge for me in my life. So I'd say between those two things,
yeah,
that would be it.
Okay. What's the tour look like for you this time, or when you start? When does that start? When do you start as a solo act, and then what does that look like for you getting on the road with the new record?
That starts in September. So my last run with Chris Jones and the Night Drivers will be actually an Ireland tour at the beginning of September.
Okay. That's a nice way to go out.
And then, exactly. It'll be a lot of fun. So after that, I have some dates lined up for the fall. I've got it all up on my website, but yeah, we've got some dates lined up for the fall, but I'm not planning real hard until 2020. So at that point, we'll have the album out and get from there.
I noticed that you had a IBMA nomination in 2018. Will you be able to get back to IBMA this year and play with the new music?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Well, we're actually on the lineup of official showcase artists. So, so we'll have some good showcases there. And I'm also going to be doing the songwriters showcase.
Oh, cool, okay.
As well. So, we'll be there for a whole week.
So the new record is I Hope You Have a Good Life. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yep.
Cool. Out... IBMA time or sooner than that?
It'll be before IBMA.
Okay.
Yeah, we know that for sure. Just don't have the exact date.
All right. So if people want to follow along and they want to make sure they get it when it comes out, or they want to reach out and find out your tour schedule when they can catch your music, mm-hmm. or maybe even pick up your first record, what's the best way to do that? How can they get in touch?
They can go to my website is GinaFurtadoBanjo.com and there's, all the contact info there, but there's also just a form they can shoot a little message on quickly and easily, which I love to hear from people.
Yeah,
it's just
okay.
Howdy.
Yeah, and on Facebook, right?
On Facebook, yep. I've got a Gina Furtado artist page and, of course, a personal page.
Yeah.
Either one of those.
Awesome. Well, we're certainly excited to hear the new music and catch your new project, and wish you the best with it.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for doing this, Greg.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.